highest payroll in the NBA, but, well, it's paying off in spades as they will put the Raptors to rest. Well, and move on by virtue of a 4-0 sweep. LeBron James with his 11th career playoff sweep and an emphatic slam of the ball to the court. LeBron James finishing with 35 points, 9 boards, and 6 assists.
Cleveland will advance. They wait for Boston or Philadelphia. Dwayne Casey and his Toronto Raptors swept out of the second round by the Cavaliers, 128-93.
After getting swept out of the playoffs by the Cleveland Cavs, Toronto has fired coach Dwayne Casey, league sources telling ESPN. He coached the Raptors for 7 seasons and led the team to 5 straight playoff appearances in 3 consecutive 50-win seasons. Stephen A., I know you think fondly of Casey. What's your reaction to this news?
Well, I think this disgusts me. My instant reaction is that it's BS. I don't think he deserved it because he lost to the best player in the world. Now, it doesn't help that he got swept. But if you look at the roster that was assembled and how they fold whenever LeBron James is in their vicinity, I don't know how you can blame the coach for that, having to deal with the personnel he has.
The deal is final. The Spurs will send Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green to the Raptors for DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, and a 2019 first-round pick. League sources tell me the Raptors and Spurs are getting on a trade call with the league office momentarily to finalize the deal.
Sportsfeld!
It is Sportsfeld story time. We are looking back at the Toronto Raptors 2016 NBA playoff run that ends in unglorious fashion with a 6-game loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers. But that game 4, when they tied it up at 2, Kyle and DeMar arriving, it was enough to look at the next season and say, with a little growth from Norm, with a good draft move, with a little bit of this and a little bit of that, there's no reason to believe they shouldn't make the conference finals again. The Raptors came out and they won 51 games. I mean, that's pretty darn good. They drafted a bit of an off-the-board pick. They took a guy who went to the University of New Mexico State, who had played in Cameroon, who was a very raw. He had only been playing basketball for a couple of years, but he's 6'9", and, I mean, it's a 27th overall pick. You get what you get. It was Pascal Siakam. It was not the beginning, but it was the greatest example of never give Masai Ujiri a late round pick.
Also of note, the 9th pick for the Raptors in the 2016 NBA draft was Jakob Poeltl, who of course would be a key piece in the Kawhi Leonard trade. So I think you could probably argue this is one of the most important draft in franchise history.
The Raptors also add an undrafted free agent.
Yes, quite an offseason.
Bet on yourself. They take a guy out of Wichita State. They take a shocker. They take 6'1", undersized point guard, Fred VanVleet, and they sign him to a deal. He bets on himself. He says, I don't want to be a second-round pick. I don't want a two-way contract. I want to be an NBA player. So they add VanVleet and Siakam and Poeltl after being a 56-win team. They win 5 less games. They get a 3 seed. But we talked about it in the last couple episodes, and we talked about it in the beginning of this series, that what they had put in place was a system in the 905 where guys could go down, they could be the man and play important possessions, play in a starting lineup, play 40 minutes a game, and be in crunch time scenarios and play the exact same system as the big league club plays, and also play 37, 40 games in the big club. That was really the beginning of what forms a championship core.
Yeah, and also of note in this, the Raptors had kind of a wild transaction year.
This is such a good year.
That year. Biz leaves. He signs a 4-year contract in Orlando for $72 million. Good for him. James Johnson goes to the Heat. Luis Scola goes to the Nets. Anthony Bennett goes to the Nets. And then Fenerbahce. DeMar DeRozan resigns a 5-year deal worth $139 million. and perhaps one of the most, other than DeMar, one of the most notable things of this season for the Raptors is on date find.
Valentine's Day.
Thank you. On Valentine's Day 2017, Terrence Ross was traded to the Orlando Magic for Mafuzi himself, Serge Ibaka.
Hey everyone, I'm Jesse Rubinoff. Some breaking news for you this morning, and it's a happy Valentine's Day for Raptors fans. Kyle Lowry said the team needed to make a change, and guess what? They responded with a huge splash on the trade market. The Dinos agreeing to acquire power forward Serge Ibaka from the Orlando Magic in exchange for Terrence Ross and a 2017 first round draft pick. The 27-year-old Ibaka is a free agent at the end of the season. Now, Ibaka spent the first seven seasons of his career with the Oklahoma City Thunder before being traded to the Magic this summer. He's averaging 15 points per game this season and is a big addition to the Raptors team that's lost 10 of their last 14 games overall.
Quite like, this is a big year for what the championship Raptors would eventually become.
This is the most, I think this is the most important. Obviously signing Kawhi, trading for Kawhi is bigger, but in terms of building the core, like if they trade for Kawhi and they don't have Van Vliet and Siakam, they don't win the championship.
Absolutely. And then Ibaka's contributions were huge and everyone loves Serge. This is like a disappointing year, obviously. They beat the Bucks in six games in the first round. And then get absolutely smoked by the Cavs again.
LeBron, this is LeBron spins the ball before he takes the three, and LeBron fakes drinking a beer. This was like everything he had said the year before about how much he respects the team. This was literally the exact opposite.
Yeah, and this was also, I remember watching this series, like when they beat the Bucks, it was like, yeah, they won a playoff round. But like this year there was no hope they were gonna beat the Cavs.
Yes.
It was just like no chance.
But they did add PJ Tucker as well at the deadline.
That's right. Please stop. No. Yeah. One of my favorite memes.
LeBron stopping.
please stop. No.
Kyle Lowry, another great year. 22.5 points per game. Another All-Star berth. Seven assists per game. DeMar, I think this is probably DeMar's best statistical year. 27 points per game. They were really motivated by how much they had been made fun of the year before for their many, many bad playoff games. Those two guys came out and really put it all on the floor for the entire year.
I also think a thing that sort of highlights how badly the Cavs beat them in the playoffs. In game three, the Raptors lose by 21 points and DeMar had 37.
Oh boy. Well, the league was getting, but the league was getting to a point where it, LeBron's numbers in the series, 35, 39, 35. Oh my God. LeBron in this series averaged 36 and 8 and 5, and only played 40 minutes a game because he could rest for half a quarter. Yeah, it was sort of they realized that like they could let DeMar do his damage as long as that was it. As long as it was just DeMar, you could sort of let him get his mid-range game off because it would take him so many shots to do it. And that was always the knock on DeMar. And something that I found sort of sweet, actually, is I don't know if you've noticed this, but Raptors fans really taking joy in DeMar's game now that he plays for the Spurs and now that you're not relying on it, being like, you know what? He's the best mid-range scorer in the league. Like the moves he does and the shots he pulls off are difficult and sometimes unnecessarily so. But there is a beauty in the work he puts in to be able to do it.
Yeah, that was that's always been the thing. The knock on DeMar was never that he was bad. It's just that he wasn't the guy to get us over the hill, which maybe the next season, one shot away from things being different.
Oh boy, the 2018. This might like we might have to save the 2018 game one for its own.
Truly,
cause like my heart.
I believe I ended that game lying on the floor of a bar. Cause I was gonna watch it at home. I was gonna watch it at home, and Cassie was like, "Why don't we go to a bar to watch, and we can like." Have a nice night before the game, and then we can watch the game at the bar. And I was like, great. And I remember not even the, I don't think it was the end of the game. It was the end of the of regulation when JV missed the tip in, just like hanging off the table.
Raptors and Cavaliers tied at 105. DeRozan drives in, gives it up. Van Vliet back in, a three. No good. DeRozan in and out. 3 seconds. Tip in Valanciunas. That won't go. There's a lid on the rim. Timeout called. Cavaliers secure the rebound.
Just to track back to the sort of the incredible development story is Pascal at 22 starts 38 games, plays 55 games, plays about 15 and a half minutes a game, and averages 4.2 points per game. Keep that in mind because he becomes a star.
He does. A max player, a literal max player.
2017, 2018, as you mentioned, they do get smoked by the Cavaliers. They're a 59-win team, which is... I mean, that's really good. That's a really good team.
They were the one seed. The bench mob was we were convinced that you could win the finals without a star with 10 guys. Lowry resigns in July of that year. Another big year. They draft OG and Anunoby that year.
Listen, basically everything after Damari Carroll, Masai does not do anything else wrong the rest of the time.
Yeah. And also funny, they dump Carroll and a first-round pick for just the rights to Justin Hamilton, which is how much they wanted to get rid of Damari Carroll.
Knowing when to fold him, you know what I mean? That's just as important.
Fair enough.
Yeah, this is smaller. You are seeing the tweaks to what is a very good team. But
they add CJ Miles by trading Corey Joseph,
which I think was a good deal. That's a bit of a Damari Carroll, but it made sense on paper to do that.
Added Malcolm Miller and Lorenzo Brown and Alfonso McKinney for the G League. Lose PJ Tucker and Patrick Patterson. But like, again, you're right. Small tweaks getting ready for the run that they thought they were going to take this season.
The Pascal watch, he averages 20 minutes a game and 7.3 points per game. So we're still a way off on Pascal Siakam truly, truly arriving. DeMar, a good season, 23 points, but not the lights out that he was the year before. Lowry, settling into sort of the Lowry that we know now, where the numbers aren't eye-popping. It's 16 points, it's 5.5 rebounds and 7 assists and a steal, but just every game, game in, game out, dictating the pace, always making the right play, shooting 40% from three, defending the other team's best guard. And this is something that it seems crazy now because of all that we've been through and where it ended up and the title and where we are in 2020 as a content creator. But people really disliked Serge Ibaka.
Yeah. Oh, man, yeah. I would say they disliked Serge Ibaka up until about game 5 of the Philly series.
Yes. Yes, he was one of the guys that it's sort of, I want to make this comparison properly. It's sort of a little holdover from Leafs fandom where you sort of only notice him when he's doing things wrong. You would not notice the good thing he is doing because he would take a three with 18 seconds left in the shot clock and it would clang out, or he'd get beat off the dribble or whatever it is. But you know, you realize that maybe Nick Nurse is what this guy needed.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say good things don't happen because of Nick Nurse.
I mean, so. Nick Nurse helped us become the best podcast in Toronto in 2019. So
it's true. It's true. It's documented by Now Magazine.
This is a 59-win team, a one seed, a really, really, really impressive season up until running into LeBron James again. And this is full LeBronto. This is, man, you remember he was doing where he had practiced hitting turnaround jumpers all day and then spent the fourth quarter just hitting turnaround jumpers.
Oh yeah. I do remember that. That was game 2, I think.
Yes.
And that was like, I remember that game being so incredibly frustrating, but also so incredibly cool.
Yes.
Because it was just LeBron doing whatever he wanted. Because like that Cavs team, I will say on record, in retrospect, I'm glad we didn't beat them, because if we did beat them, we don't get Kawhi, we don't win the title. But I will say on record, the Raptors should have beat that Cavs team.
Yeah.
That Cavs team was not that good. Wow. Other than LeBron.
Wow, that's gutsy. And of course, the game you're mentioning, game one, a 113-112 loss, the inability to put back a bunny from inside the restricted area cost them. Game two was LeBron has 43, half of them on turnaround jumpers in the second half. Game three is LeBron hitting the runner at the buzzer.
After the crazy comeback, OG ties it. You finally think that OG is going to be the guy of the future. And then LeBron hits a shot over him.
Some pressure here.
And now the big thing is make sure you do not foul anybody here on the dribble.
It's going to be James.
Sure, here it is. See, it's under it's
3 seconds
under three.
To go. Throws up the floater. Good night, Cleveland. That is for you.
The runner off the glass, no problem. And then, I mean, at that point, the heart is just cut out of the Raptors. It has been 7-9 straight victories for the Cavs over the Raptors in the playoffs.
It was also, if I remember correctly, in that Game 3 buzzer beater game, didn't DeMar not play the fourth? Because he was struggling. I believe he was struggling so bad.
You are correct.
That he did not play the fourth quarter.
OG and Fred played all 12 minutes.
Yeah, which, you know, we know how it ended, but
yeah,
kinda, writing certainly got on the wall there.
He was a minus 23 in 27 minutes, 3 of 12 for 8 points. Yes, he, you are absolutely right. He Kyle plays 9.5, Fred and OG play all 12, CJ plays 12. Ibaka plays 11:45. DeMar plays 0 minutes. JV plays 7 seconds in the fourth quarter. Fucking of course. Probably the last possession and nothing else.
Yeah, that series was so frustrating for so many reasons. And it was why when after that season, as we all know, the reigning coach of the year, Dwayne Casey, gets fired, I was sort of on board.
There was that great clip that they only showed us. Remember, Sportsnet did that unbelievable tease heading into the playoffs, heading into the 2019 playoffs. And there was that clip we had never really seen before of Casey and Masai screaming at each other in the hallway.
Yeah, and I think that was in that Cavs series.
I am almost certain it is from that very game.
Yeah.
And that's
and it's just,
there's one more game that Kyle puts up 5 points. Nobody other than Jonas scores more than 13 in game four. The Raptors have just nothing left. 128-93. And that is the end of the Casey DeMar era in Toronto.
And like, it's crazy to think that, I mean, obviously hindsight and a championship are 2020.
Yes.
But it's crazy to think now how controversial those moves were.
Yeah.
Firing Casey and trading DeMar, even for Kawhi. Like, there was all those days of like, will Kawhi even play a game for the Raptors? And blah, blah, blah. That summer was like very testy.
Oh, yeah.
As a Raptors fan.
Oh, all you need to do is you look in the comments of any of the trades and people are making fun of the Raptors. But I mean, do we even need to say what the 2018-2019 Raptors were, Jake?
I mean, I think it's pretty well documented everywhere, but the single best season of anything I've witnessed in a long time.
Every day was just a brand new discovery of, you know, it's easy and quick to go, oh, you know, Kawhi, he averaged 26.5, 7 boards, 3 assists, almost 2 steals, you know, defended the best players, but Siakam's growth, Lowry every single game, Danny Green, Fred VanVleet becoming a guy that you can rely on every single game, adding Marc Gasol at the deadline, there's so much. The team was so special. They gave us so much over that year. OG continuing to develop. Nick Nurse's schemes, the way they played against the Sixers, the toughness they showed to get through that Sixers series, the reverse sweep of the Bucks, Kawhi on one leg, left-handed, dunking on Giannis. And then I think the most beautiful thing, the part that really, when I look back at it now with even a little bit of hindsight, makes me really, really, really happy, is Game 6 against the Warriors. Kawhi is out of gas, man. Like, look at his numbers. 7 of 16 for 22 points. He was the third leading scorer on the team.
Yeah, and I remember we were at the bar together for that game. Kyle coming out and scoring the first 11 points of that game was, other than like actually winning the title and maybe like Fred's step back three, that was like, that was the best. The fact it was Kyle came out in the finals clinching game, scores the first 11 points. It was like, okay, we're winning.
15 points and 30 assists in the first quarter of game 6. It's enough to bring a tear to your eye. It truly is.
And did.
Yes, it really did. It's the perfect ending to the story that starts with that run in 2014.
Yeah, and also a thing that I've started to appreciate about it, especially throughout quarantine where we didn't have any games, but just kind of like looking back on stuff, is there's so many regular season games. And like, obviously the playoffs get the press, and fair enough, but like, there's so many playoff games or regular season games that were just like, to your point, like a joy or like fun every day. Like I think about Kawhi getting the roll against Portland, or Pascal just like eating the Hawks alive, or beating the Warriors twice, or the DeMar's return game. It was just every day last season, there was something to talk about the Raptors, and it was all positive.
Just an incredible story, and I'm really happy for Kyle that they have that vindication, and I'm happy for the organization that the ghosts of how difficult it was for this team to get any traction or any respect are finally gone, and they're recognized now as one of the premier development and performance places of the decade. When you look at the last 10 years, the Raptors are a top of the division 50-win team more often than not.
But they still got to work for it.
That's right. Well, that's always going to be the case.
Yeah.
Always going to be the case. That is it for August Sportsfeld Storytime. It has been a pleasure going back and remembering the 2016 Toronto Raptors run. We appreciate you, the Patreon audience. We could not and would not do this without you. If you have an idea for a series or a game or an event or a team you want us to go back and remember, drop it in our Discord in the Storytime channel. We will get to them. We will look back. We will remember some guys, remember some teams, and we will do that next time on Sportsfeld Storytime.